This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9 at the business station, believe it or not. It is that time of night. I'm Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Madeline Chung.
Joining us in the studio is Adil Johan. Welcome, sir.
Hello.
How are you?
I am very good, thank you.
Okay, we're going to be talking to you about saxophones, clearly.
Oh, very good.
Okay. And what it is to be an ethnomusicologist.
What is that?
I don't know.
It sounds very confusing.
Doctor would know better.
Doctor. There's a joke there somewhere, right? Yeah, I'm not going to go there. A whole bunch of stuff, though, later on. Of course, we will be giving stuff away, so remember this number, 016-201-9000. You'll hear little advertisement-type things all the way through the show.
And, mm-hmm. And make sure you tell us why do you deserve to win as well.
Right, so where do we start? Do we start with the fact that you're writing a book? Do we start with the fact that you're a doctor? You're playing live. You're playing in your own. You're doing your own stuff. You're working with people like Asmil Yunor, and you've played with Dasha Logan. And whoa, busy man, right?
I'm quite busy, but I'm also quite lazy.
Right.
So it's all about efficiency.
Absolutely.
How do you balance your time then?
I don't. I just roll with it.
Right. But what do you enjoy most about what it is that you do?
I definitely enjoy the people that I get to interact with.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Playing music, having fun. Playing music's always fun. But I'm also a huge nerd, so I do like finding out information about things and questioning them and things like that. So that's pretty much sums up my life. I'm also a really compulsive Transformers collector.
Really?
Which is really not related to what I do.
Me and you could have some really good conversations about this. I actually had, when I was younger, I collected the Transformers for many years.
And, oh, wonderful.
What happened to it now?
I made a really stupid mistake, right? Before I moved to China and everywhere else, what I decided to do was just to raise a little bit more money. I thought I would sell my Transformers. They were the original die-cast ones, right?
Oh, wow.
And I did them at a car boot sale, and I sold them for a lot less than I should have done. Some old woman came past, and she went, I'll give you £100 for all of them. And I'm like,
oh my God.
Done.
No way.
Yeah.
That's painful.
How many did you have?
There was about 30. Wow. It was a really stupid mistake. Yeah.
How old were you?
Probably about 18, 19. You know what it's like when you're that age. You just need cash.
£100
right?
quite true. A bit, right?
£100. What do you mean? Exchange rate back then was good, was it? Oh, she's at it already. Right. So working with people like Asmil and Dasha and whatnot, you know, I love these local musicians. But what I think is important is, a lot of these local musicians now, and we talk about them as if it's a bad thing that they're local musicians. Dasha's doing really well. She's overseas doing stuff. Asmil's doing his own thing. You know, that's we have people like Ushera. She's doing her own stuff. And they all seem to be doing pretty well. Mm. What do you think of the current state of the music scene in Malaysia, if we call it that?
That's really interesting because that question gets asked a lot.
It does.
And that probably reflects the fact that there is a state to the music scene.
Correct.
But I think it's a community.
Yeah.
First and foremost, it is a bit closed, but it's grown in a very weird kind of way. We have all these very complex networks of people. We have histories of people who used to work together. We also have very interesting histories of people that don't want to work
together. Correct, yes.
That makes it very interesting. We have this new kind of, we have this old, the old guard of, you know, people like myself, oddly enough, who are like, I'm only 30. Mm. But for some reason, we have this apprehension to hipsters.
Right. When we, I think that's a normal reaction though, right?
But it's weird, right? Like, what is it? What is hipster culture? What is hipster music? But then I also have students. Mm. And when I play them my music, which is very jazz and R&B, they tell me, oh yeah, that's very old man music. Okay,
cool. Well, I think that, I mean, the newer generation, the younger generation now are not used to like jazz and all because they usually listen to what, indie music, most of them?
Well, I don't know. I think, here's the thing about music. It's, and this sounds really cliche, but it's a voyage of discovery, right?
Mm,
I mean,
yes.
The first time you might be listening, I'll cite myself as an example for, you know, when I grew up, it was the Beatles and the Rolling Stones that my parents would play and stuff, you know, from that kind of era. But there was also stuff like Buddy Holly thrown in. And there was that, you know, and then my mum was hitting Motown. Right. So when I start listening to music, my first thing is I'll buy a bit of Kylie Minogue. Don't judge me. But, you know, immediately.
No judgment at all.
Right. So, but then that wasn't so much of a decision because I it was a song I liked. I'll buy that song. But when you have that kind of click in your head where you find that music that you like and you love, you tend to kind of stick with it as your kind of foundations, if you like.
Yeah, correct. But that's why, you know, Adele was saying, like, how do we segregate, how do we differentiate hipsters? Hipster music,
right?
You know. If you listen to Two Door Cinema Club, Arctic Monkeys, or Empire of the Sun, do you consider yourself as hipster?
No, because I listen to that.
Yeah, I listen to that as well, but we're not hipsters, right?
Are we?
We're not hipsters. Who would you call a hipster?
I don't know.
From the way they dress? From that the way they speak?
Well, music, fashion, it comes together, right?
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, we need to take a quick break. It's 5 minutes in already. 016-201-9000. Let us know if you want to take part in the competition, your full name, your IC, and of course, why you want to win. We'll be back with Adil shortly afterwards. Ethnomusicology.
Very interesting.
Right. Okay. Don't go anywhere, folks. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9, The Business Station. It is that time of night. I'm Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Madeline Chung.
And I'm Adil Johan.
Okay, so we were talking about hipsters and all that kind of jazz. See what I did earlier on? Now, I want to talk to you about your PhD.
Sure.
Permanent head damage.
Permanent what?
Permanent head damage.
Was it permanent head damage?
It was definitely permanent head damage.
Okay.
My head is forever damaged and ruined.
Why?
During or after?
During and after.
Uh-huh.
Constantly.
Right.
Still.
King's College London, right?
King's College London, yes.
How long did it take you to do it?
It took me 3 to 4 years.
Wow.
Yeah, 3 to 4 years, because the fourth year is a bit iffy.
Yeah.
You're writing up, you're handing it in, then you're waiting to be examined by your viva committee.
So tell us about the topic that you chose to approach and why you chose to approach it.
Right, so I wrote about Malay film music in the 1950s and 60s and how it relates to Malaysian nationalism.
Post-colonialist?
Pre and post.
Oh, interesting.
Well, actually, you are definitely post-colonial. So after World War II, right? 1950s
okay.
to 60s. And I also tried to link it to how we perceive nationalism in Malaysia and Singapore today.
Very interesting.
But the lens or the microphone is music.
Right.
So I do it through a music perspective.
Right.
And of course, the central figure in that thesis is invariably going to be P. Ramlee.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So everybody asks me that. But it's a very good thing because when I tell people that I'm researching Malay film music, the first question they ask me, oh, so P. Ramlee. Mm. Then I say yes and other things as
right,
well,
right.
a lot more. So I got into it because I'm a jazz musician. I play the saxophone. And after I did my master's, I had this opportunity to do a PhD. I had to come up with a proposal. And I thought, there's so much about P. Ramlee that I grew up with, that Malaysians grew up with. The music sounds really jazzy, and I want to know more about it.
Mm.
You know, I'm a Malaysian jazz musician that doesn't know anything about Malaysian music.
Mm.
So the first stage of inquiry was to look into somebody like P. Ramlee and Malay films.
Mm.
And the impact of it, I feel, you know, is everybody knows that P. Ramlee's famous song is Getaran Jiwa.
Right.
Mm. I cringe when I hear that song now because everyone plays it all the time. If they need to reference a Malaysian song.
Mm.
But that's a really important fact. So looking into Malaysian music and why is this music so important? Why is it such an important marker of Malaysian identity and also Singaporean to an extent?
Mm.
But as a jazz musician, I heard jazz.
Right.
Or I heard something that comes from a lot more. So as I dug deeper, I found out a lot more about it.
Okay, yeah. So I mean, if a lot of people are identifying Malaysian music, Malaysian cinema music, as
yeah.
P. Ramlee, post 1950, whatever.
Right.
What were they kind of identifying Malay music before that period?
Well, there was Bangsawan. The Bangsawan opera was huge, but that also came from India.
Mm.
That came from Iran. It was called Wayang Pasi. A lot of it came from India, and it was basically a variety show type of performance that was live. This is before films were accessible to a wide audience, and they had music in between. They had stand-up comedy. It was very vibrant.
Right.
And that was the music for me. Malay music was actually very pluralistic. It was
yeah.
like there was all sorts of music. It's kind of like how we listen to music today.
Right.
Right. So you bring in a record, a gramophone, let's say from the US or from Latin America. Somebody listens to it and then they incorporate it into their playing. They're playing, if we're talking the 1940s, there are all these dance clubs where Malay and non-Malay audience would all go. Malay musicians would play Western instruments. They would play rumbas, cha-chas, bossa novas.
Mm.
And also they would maybe infuse some Malay joget in there, mm. some inang. So there was a lot of mixing going on. It was a very, very exciting and vibrant time. And that's why I like history, I guess.
All right, yeah. So what happened then?
What happened to Malay music?
Is that I mean, what I mean now is that, you know, back then we're talking about how vibrant we talk about it almost through rose-tinted glasses, right? Yeah. It was beautiful. It was multicultural. There's so many people involved, and now there seems to be this, I don't know, like a vacuum almost.
It's very interesting because I think our world has opened up as much as it's closed down.
Right.
Our lens is narrowed.
Yeah.
We came from a society in the early days before communication was easily accessible. We had our own communities of different practices, different music mixing, intermingling together. And then as we opened up our borders of communication, we also have all these very strong political forces that impose what is cool, what's not cool, what has more of a market share on the music market. So Western music, rock and roll, that came in. Like a lot of Malay music purists would argue that rock and roll kind of destroyed traditional Malay music or Malay film music. They would take that position.
Right.
But the reality is that rock and roll was also adapted by young Malay youths.
Pop yeah
in
yeah.
the 60s, pop yeah yeah. So, yeah. And that was a direct reference to the Beatles.
Yeah.
And that opened up all sorts of other things. So I think it's a perception issue that we feel that things are closed up now. Actually, things are very open now. Like, I was having a discussion with my colleague, Azmil, you know, and some of my other colleagues about whether our students listen to albums anymore.
Right.
Listen to albums.
I mean,
maybe we don't because we have Spotify and we can choose playlists. We have, we have music, a diversity of music at our fingertips.
Yeah. Right, right. So I found myself guilty of that for a long time, actually.
Yeah. I do
we
that now, too.
We used to listen to albums, right?
It used to be one of those things that you would set aside time
to listen to an entire album. But not right. now.
I think a lot of that is it's a kind of self-fulfilling prophecy as well, because the people who are making albums are aware that there is this kind of very short attention span. So, you know, and that's what happens. You listen to two or three tracks and you just switch it off, and then you're back to your Facebook or you're back to your WhatsApp.
They're mainly listening to whatever is top chart and all, and then the rest, they won't even bother.
Right, we've got to move on. Oh, interesting chat. We could have done that for a lot longer. Right, let's get rid of this music. Adeline, I believe it's your story coming up first. Yeah.
What's all the shouting?
Pink hoodies.
Oh my word. Come on, this better be interesting.
All right, so this is a UK story.
Uh-huh.
All right, so two brothers from the UK, they actually designed pink hoodies to calm extreme athletes.
Okay.
All right, so the hoodie is called Baker Miller Pink. And then a color scheme was selected for...
Let me guess, it's pink.
Yeah, obviously.
Right, okay.
But not the fuchsia pink.
Okay.
According to Dr. Jason, he can't argue. So it's a light, soft pink.
So it's
cotton candy pink.
Okay.
Okay. So it's supposed to calm, to soothe athletes' nerves before an event.
By wearing a pink hoodie.
Yes. And then apparently the most important part of the hoodie is the hood. So which zips around the wearer's head and has various holes, and it designs to tint vision as well as to control breathing.
So you wear a pink hoodie, you zip it all the way to the top.
Zip it all the way at top.
It has a visor kind of thing inside that tints.
It kind of like, you know, calms you down. It calms you down, calms your nerves.
So you're essentially putting an extreme MMA fighter in a pink straitjacket.
Yeah.
There's no wonder it calms him down.
Well, at least that fighter can't actually see.
Right.
It's like an internal thing, right?
That's it.
I bet it's going to cost a lot as well.
I hear it's around $230.
Yeah. Would you pay $230
for a pink hoodie?
Well, maybe if you're an athlete, maybe.
Are you saying I'm not athletic?
No, not very. You don't even go to the gym.
Oh, here we go. We started already. That membership of yours, what's that doing, huh? Anyway, folks, we'll get away from that. We're at BFM TTON or at BFM Radio, of course. You can also get us via the competition 016-201-9000. Answer the question that will be posed for you. Give us your full name, your IC, and why you should win. We'll be back after this break. More messages. We've got some more news from Page 2 and, of course, Smarty Pants. Please don't go anywhere. It's BFM 89.9, the business station. BFM 89.9, the business station. It is that time of night. I'm Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Madeline Chung.
And we have...
Adil Johan.
Right. So we were talking pink hoodies. We were talking about Malay music. Now we're going to talk about what, Adil?
Oh, we're going to talk about Google's Star Wars makeover.
Excellent. This sounds really good. Tell me about it.
So on the, on the 23rd of November, Google decided to release a cross-platform makeover of all their apps, where everything becomes Star Wars themed.
Oh,
so all the apps that you have on your phone, like the Google browser and your Google Maps and Gmail, if you're accessing on your laptop, will have a Star Wars theme. Now the catch behind this is when you sign up for this to be implemented across your apps, you have to choose whether you want to be on the light side or the dark side.
Okay.
So once you've chosen, for example, if you choose the dark side, you can't turn back.
If you choose the dark side, then
you can't
you're
switch.
You're walking down a very straight
it's
path, my young one.
So which side?
No, you can switch back because I mean, yeah. Star Wars is scandalous. Like
of course,
that, right?
of course.
You can obviously switch sides
right.
anytime so you want.
Which side did you pick originally?
I'm so lame. I picked the light
side. Of course you picked the light side.
Of course I picked the light side.
Yeah.
So what was the feature like for you?
What was it like? Well, I recently got it and I was very excited. I opened my Google Maps and I put on my location, and my location indicator is now an X-Wing.
An X-Wing? Oh, my word. So I'm assuming for the dark side, it would be a TIE fighter.
Yes.
The little man that you drop on would be, a stormtrooper or something?
That's cute, though. Are there any sound effects?
I don't know yet.
Hey, that's a good point.
Yeah.
But I mean, this idea of merchandising right now, with Star Wars, the last batch was ridiculous. You'd got Pepsi, who had created a new character and spent millions and millions. This time around, though, I'm not seeing so much merchandising. I've seen a bit. Lego, Subway have recently got involved with it. They're now selling keychains and one thing or another,
of
these
course.
Collectibles and what's
Did McDonald's do anything?
Not yet. I've not seen anything yet, I don't think. We should ask the interns. They're regulars at McDonald's, right? They'll probably know more than we do. What else did I notice? Star Wars Battlefront.
The whole
PlayStation 4 and one thing or another. Are you a gamer as well?
I would love to be a gamer.
Right.
Now.
No time, though, right?
No time. Very little time for it.
Busy, busy man, this one.
Yeah. Richard, you have time?
Of course.
Plenty of time.
Only between, the hours of 11 and 4 a.m. is the time that I get to play my games.
No wonder your eyes were so red when you come into the office.
That's exactly right. Yes.
Gaming
okay,
eyes.
Gaming eyes, in fact. Okay, moving on to my story for the day about this UK woman, a British woman who tried to kill her husband by Christmas time as well. Can you believe this? By poisoning his Christmas drink of sparkling fruit wine with antifreeze.
She Romantic Christmas dinner?
Well, clearly... he probably thought it was, but she's been jailed for 15 years because she made a spelling mistake.
What?
So she basically gave a note to the London Ambulance Services, allegedly from her husband, stating that he did not wish to be resuscitated, that he tried to commit suicide and one thing or another. Now, as part of this note, there was a misspelling of the word dignity. Mm. So she'd spelled it D-I-G-N-E-R-T-Y. Right? So, the police, on reading this note, were like, something isn't quite right here. Right. Thankfully, the guy didn't die. However, when they got her into the police interrogation room and they said, okay, can you just write us a few words? You know, here's an example. Can you write the word dignity? And of course, she wrote it the same way that she'd written in her husband's alleged suicide note. And there you go. See, if you're going to be a murderer or anything like that, you know, learn English a little bit.
Oh
you know,
God.
It's so important. English is such an important topic these days.
But wait, she's from the UK.
Yes.
How can she not spell dignity?
Hey, believe it or not everybody can spell. Full stop. My dad is a prime example, by the way.
Your dad is listening, I bet.
Of course he'll be listening, yeah. He's brilliant at maths, can't spell for sugar. Okay, right. It is now time to move on for Smarty Pants. That's coming up right now and sounds a little bit like this.
Smarty Pants.
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 Okay, Adil, what do you know about this?
I know that it is a trivia
Correct.
Competition of sorts, and you have a leaderboard.
We do indeed. Sean Garzy.
Yeah, which I checked out as well.
Sean Garzy is the highest, 26.
Joint with Mick Nevin, who's also at 26.
Mick Nevin.
Wow.
Yeah, he's not Scottish, by the way. He's Australian.
Australian.
Right.
Very good Australian accent.
How much does Asmil, scored?
About 18, I think, something 18. Like that.
Pretty good as well.
Yeah, he was pretty good. Yeah. Pretty smart, that one, Yeah. Right. Yeah. So the idea is 3 minutes, 30 questions.
Oh,
answer
wow.
as many as you can. Can.
Okay.
See, I'm from England, remember? And if you don't know the answer, just say skip and we move right along.
Cool.
Okay. Your 3 minutes start now. David Bowie and Queen created which hit single in 1981? Space Oddity, Under Pressure, or We Are the Champions?
We Are the Champions.
Under Pressure, 81. Okay. Right, the North Star is also known as Polaris or Orion?
Oh, Polaris.
What is the name of Donald Duck's girlfriend?
Daisy.
Which country do tortillas originate from, Argentina or Mexico?
Mexico.
What aspect of waves can be measured as the distance between two of its crests, wavelength or height?
Wavelength.
Katla and Hekla are active volcanoes in which country, Norway or Iceland?
I'll say Iceland.
Which actor died in a car wreck at the age of 24? James Dean or Humphrey Bogart?
James Dean.
Table salt is made up of chlorine and what other chemical element? Calcium or sodium?
Sodium.
Who directed the 1968 horror film Rosemary's Baby? Roman Polanski or Francis Ford Coppola?
I'm going to say Coppola.
It's the other one.
Okay.
You Know Nothing, Jon Snow, is a quote from which TV series?
Game of Thrones.
What substance are human nails made of, keratin or melatonin?
Ooh, keratin.
Correct. Finish this book title. The Cat in the...
Ooh, Hat.
Following that question, who wrote the book, Dr. Seuss or Roald Dahl?
Dr. Seuss.
New Orleans has been considered to be a mecca for which music genre? Folk or jazz?
Jazz.
Which ingredient would you not use when baking a cake? If you get this wrong, there's a problem. Flour or marble?
Marble.
A traditional Roman carbonara pasta dish is made with only eggs and cheese. True or false?
True.
The Gobi Desert resides in both China and which other country? Nepal or Mongolia?
Mongolia.
The Muslim Brotherhood rose to power in which nation after the Arab Spring? Egypt or Pakistan?
Egypt.
Which TV mockumentary TV series follows a group of office workers?
The Office.
What was the name of the song by Simon and Garfunkel that centers around the 1967 movie The Graduate? The Boxer or The Sound of Silence?
Sound of Silence.
Which U.S. president signed the controversial Patriot Act into law? George W. Bush or Mitt Romney?
Oh, George W. Bush.
At what age did P. Ramlee die from a heart attack? 25, 32 or 44?
44.
In which month did the 2013 Boston bombings happen? April or May?
It was April.
Nelson Mandela spent most of his time in which South African prison? Robben Island or Baffin Island?
Robben Island.
How many letters make up the word Mississippi? 12 or 10?
12.
What is the name of the largest flower in the world?
Rafflesia.
Which football club has the most English Premier League trophies to date? Liverpool or Manchester United?
Liverpool.
Oh, which 1980s British pop star said, I'd rather have a cup of tea than sex? Boy George or Billy Idol?
Boy George.
Of course it was. Right, quick break. We'll be right back after these messages. Please do not go anywhere. BFM 89.9, The Business Station. It is that time of night. I'm Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Madeline Chung.
And I'm Adil Johan.
Just before the break, we were asking Adil a whole bunch of questions that are unrelated to what he does for a living. Well, there's so many things that we could have asked a whole bunch
dings.
Of stuff, really, right? Yeah, a lot of dings, not so many ehs. So let's go through some of the ones he got wrong, shall we?
All right, so
yeah.
The first one, David Bowie and Queen created which hit single in 1981, Under Pressure?
Ding, 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 ding.
Who directed the 1968 horror film, Rosemary's Baby? It's Roman Polanski.
You're giving the answers.
Answers, Roman Polanski.
I'm just going to bang my
Finally,
head against
the desk. Finally, which football club has the most EPL trophies to date? It's Man United.
Of course it is. Let's have...
drum roll, please.
A little drum roll, shall we?
Ladies and gentlemen, Adil Johan scored 25 points.
Oh, yay.
Well done. Second on the scoreboard.
Second. That's pretty good, right?
Together with McNevin.
McNevin got 26.
No, 26 is Sean Gazzi.
Yeah, Sean Gazzi and McNevin the same.
Oh, yes.
So that puts him in third on the scoreboard then, right?
Yeah.
Okay, right. Not bad.
That's all right.
Adil, thank you very much for coming in. It's been a pleasure.
No,
I'd love to have a bigger, longer chat about the stuff earlier on.
Interesting.
Some other time, perhaps. Okay, we have to give away some facts right now. You want to go first?
Oh, Mia.
Well, it's always
you. King of the hoodies, King of the hoodies has to be Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook.
That's how is that a fact? What am I going to learn from that? Really? Oh my word. Okay.
What's yours?
Mine
you
is
have one or two? Three?
Just one.
Four?
Just easy, Tiger. If you hypothetically drilled a hole through the center of the earth to the other side and you jumped in, it would take you 42 minutes to fall all the way through.
Have you tried?
How can I? Oh. Oh dear, one of those kind of shows, is it? Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for us to wrap up. Of course, we will be back from deepest, darkest Banda Otama. It has been that time of night. Say goodnight, folks.
Good night, all.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.